Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. A lot to talk about today. As always, we've got JFK files. We've got courts going bonkers.
We've got judges going wild.
Schools closed tomorrow because the teachers are protesting.
Teacher day. Another teacher day.
Yeah, really. I want to see how many have actually have to protest. But wanted to start off with one of the candidates for the Colorado Republican Party chair, Darcy Shaning. So, Darcy, hey, welcome. We've had you on before. We've had you on many times, actually. But welcome back to. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun to be on your guys' show.
Oh, thank you.
You are the hardest working. I'm sure they're all working hard. But I was Sunday. I went up with a couple Adams County people, 3 hours up to the northeast corner. Somebody said, drive to Kansas and take a left. And come back.
For the Phillips Day. Phillips County, Lincoln Day.
Phillips County Luncheon.
Okay.
But Darcy was there. I mean, you got to speak for a whole 2 minutes with everybody else, and then off another 3 hour trip back. So long trip.
And you were just describing too. So you were smoking. There was another forum in Evergreen, and
Jefferson Mountain Republican.
Took you like 4 years to get home from that. Colorado weather being what it is. So
Tell us about the mountain debate and stuff. I know Rich Wyatt pretty soon, and I know he's not loving good old Britta Horn, but I don't know if that worked in at all.
He is not. So, Rich, as you just said, he's pretty honest. It was a really good debate. I don't know if you guys heard, but Tina called in.
She really? Did.
Yeah.
Jail?
Yeah.
Good.
Excellent. Yeah.
Okay. She called from jail for the debate. So she said hi to everyone. And she was on the phone for about 10 minutes.
Wow. Good for her.
Yeah. So that was good. And then immediately after she called, we started the debate. And they had some pretty standard questions, some little more deeper questions. But Rich and Tim Leonard did a really good job. Rich did hammer home on all of us. Like if he felt like a question was lacking, Rich, he just digs right in.
Right.
So he did dig in with Britta. We talked about the Kyle Clark interviews. And I don't know if you saw, but when Kyle asked Britta, were the 2020 elections stolen? Her answer was the typical, like, there were shenanigans, there were anomalies, which I'm sorry, like, I've heard that word before used for the 2020 elections, shenanigans. Like shenanigans are what my kids do when I tell them to go to bed.
Right.
It's not the right word for trying to steal our republic and turn into communism. That's just not appropriate. So she did some of that on Kyle. And so Kyle Clark asked her, he said, Britta, are you not answering my question because you believe the election was stolen and you don't want to make people mad? Or do you believe the election was not stolen? And you don't want to make people mad.
Yes.
So, and
what'd she say?
She was like, no, it's not that. It's just, it's not the right phraseology. I'm not going to give you the terms you want. So Rich followed up with her last night. And that's what she said. She said, I'm not going to give Kyle the soundbite that he wants. And so Rich said, okay, well, you're not with Kyle. So answer the question. So again, we had the shenanigans answer, and he couldn't get her to answer the question.
Well, let me give you the opportunity. What's your answer to the question?
It's by and large stolen.
No. Okay. So, that was pretty straightforward. And I'm pretty sure I did not see any lightning bolts come in. I haven't seen any like liberal people storm into your house right now and start shouting weird things at you. So you can actually say the truth, bizarrely enough. And there are people who want to hear the truth,
Right.
Tina Peters has a longstanding dislike of Britta Horn. Did that come out?
Not really, not last night. That's kind of come out in some social media posts here and there. So that stuff is starting to make itself pretty clear online.
Right, okay. Right.
So let me ask you this. So you went on Kyle Clark, and we'll talk about that in a second, because I thought you did it, whether people agree with you or don't agree with you, anybody who watched that, you answer the question straightforward, unapologetic, and people could say, okay, now I know what she thinks. But and I mean, I've been in TV news, I was there for a million years. I don't think anybody ever interviewed the candidates for a state Republican Party, Democrat or Republican. I mean, I haven't seen Kyle Clark all over the Democrats. What is going on, do you think?
Well, let me ask you one. Let me ask one important question. This is, as Peter Boyle's way will say, for the Tesla and the prizes behind the curtain. Who is the Democratic chair of Colorado?
Chair of the Democrat Party.
Chad Marib.
Okay.
Good. Wow. You're one of the five people who knows that answer.
Because
I know everything. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. No one really cares. And I think that the media, the only reason they're all over it is they hate Trump. The establishment hates
Trump.
Republicans. They hate Republicans, and they want to do everything they can to kind of discredit it. I mean, what do you think? Why all of a sudden is all this attention here?
No, that's definitely what it is. I think some of them, they see the writing on the wall too, because for so long, it's been such a blue state. And as I said on previous shows, we as Republicans kept losing, right? Well, now they know the tide is turning, because we won in the 2024 elections, federally, state. We picked up some seats, and Trump is starting to look into all this woke stuff in Colorado, all these egregious laws. He's looking into everything everywhere. That administration is on it. So right. I think the Democrats are just kind of playing catch up now, because they're like, oh, people are on to our game. And so people like Kyle Clark, the liberal media, they want to try to put us on, to try to pit us and make us answer the questions wrong, or try to, you know, have certain words said so that they could say we're a bigot and kind of run with that. But I don't care. When he texted me about Tina Peters 2 weeks ago, and he said, do you want to come on the show? I'm asking all the chair candidates to come on. And of course, I could have said yes. You know, I don't want to give him any airtime. Or I could have said no, I don't want to give him any airtime. But it was important to me. I said, you know what? I'm going to go on, and I'm going to go on first, because we have to show the world that if we stand tall in our values, if we stand for the things that we believe in, then interviews like that, standing up to Democrats, I could have Joe Biden in front of me. And it's not going to be difficult, because what's difficult about standing for the truth?
Right. Well, and again, I think with the Democrats and people like Kyle Clark don't realize is their cancel culture days are over, right? Because people, number exactly. one, people got sick of it, number one. But number two, I think people don't agree with the Kyle Clarks of the world anymore, right? When you were talking about protecting our children, like 99% of the people out there with children agree with you. So when Kyle Clark makes you try to look bad.
And the 1% are along with Kyle who want to, I won't say it, children, but they're not child friendly. They're not child friendly.
Yeah.
No. And I think they don't get that. I don't think they get that more people agreed with you and your answers than disagreed with you. Wouldn't you say?
No, that's a lot of the comments online, unless they were just crazy hardened Democrats, were like, Kyle, I'm not really sure what you're getting at here. And I think the most notable moment of that interview was when he tried to kind of come at me and say, why are you so aggressive? Like, why do you call people names? Do you think that that's a winning strategy? And I turned it back around on him and I said, well, we're in a blue state. So the words that I use, the aggressive approach that I use, I do that so that you cover my stories, our issues, and then more people help. And that's how those issues get solved, literally.
Right.
And he was just kind of stumped, like, oh,
Oh, like
So you're using.
the media doesn't get. I mean, here's the thing, in its own way, and I saw that, that's an indictment of the media. The fact
Yeah.
that you can't just raise important issues and have a debate about it, right? They won't cover it. It's like, Kyle, this is an indictment of you. You ignore it unless we put it up here, right? If you
Yeah.
did your job, I wouldn't have to do that, right? But he's not
Exactly.
going to. And then
What?
he tries to turn it on you. So good job on that.
And you also went out to the Weld County reorg of the reorg meeting. Tell us how that went.
It was really interesting because there were some people missing, and then that the Weld redo meeting was, I guess, it was fairly peaceful, but that's because the people that felt that they weren't getting the seats that they were entitled to, that group wasn't there.
Right.
So like Lori Sane wasn't there. There were a lot of people that were part of that group that weren't even present. So it was really, really interesting to watch. And I don't think that's over in Weld County.
No.
No.
Well, well, I mean, and I, Chuck has done a lot of work and research on what's going on in Weld County, and it's a perfect, and we'll talk about that more. That's a whole different show.
No, it's a different one. You're talking about virtually every one of the officers, every one
Elected officials.
of the bonus members are against the opt out. Every one of them is against the opt out, and therefore they'll be voting for Britta Horn, undoubtedly. But there's a good reason to appear because these elections for chair almost like ranked choice voting. After a candidate goes out, who's their next favorite candidate? Seldom. Does somebody win on the first round? I think Ryan Call was the last one. So,
He did such a great
yeah,
job.
well,
He's a Democrat now.
he's a Democrat. Well, of course he is. But it's an always an interesting thing because you want to be on there. Even if they don't like you want them to like you better than they like the other people. And so it's not uncertain to go, is it? So it, what do they talk to you about since they really don't like what you stand for?
The other candidates.
Okay.
Let me ask you, I'll give you some softball questions because, I want to let folks
That's
know.
what Julie's here
That's what
for.
I do. But no, I mean, we had Jeremy Goodall on Monday, who's running for chair. We'll have Lori Sane on next Monday. And so I want one of the things I think a lot of people, we're not throwing gotcha questions at you like Kyle Clark. We want to give you guys an example or an opportunity to kind of say, okay, here's my vision. Here's what I want to do. So that's my softball question. What's your vision and what do you want people to know?
Well, I mean, my vision is it's pretty big. So it involves, I mean, all kinds of moving pieces to pull this thing together, tighten it up, and like I continue saying, develop procedures and processes that we can repeat cycle after cycle. So on day one of my administration, I want to get in there and I want to make sure that we have accurate on-point data, systems, and processes for all precinct leaders and up, so that if you're a precinct leader, a district captain, whatever it is that you're doing, you have access to the list that you need all the time. And I want to create a really good Colorado GOP website that all the county websites link into so that you know what's going on at all times across the state. That may sound like a small thing, but it's huge. If we could know what's going on across the state, city council meetings, Lincoln Day dinners, whatever you may have, I think that would make a huge difference. And like I said, bring the counties into that. I've been working on the Build Our Benches initiative. I already have almost $200,000 in donor commitments for the 2025 school board elections.
Wow.
Those are the same donors that are so confident in me that they're funding my chair campaign because they're saying, look, like we know you're the fundraiser. You're the one to get candidates elected. So we're going to also support your chair campaign. So raising money for candidates. And then, like I said, providing that infrastructure to those candidates and maintaining that donor confidence so that as we go into 2026, we have even more money, even stronger fundraising for those state candidates, for the governor's candidate, whoever comes out of the primary, we're going to take back the governor's office and just keep chipping away at those state House and Senate seats. And if we stay focused on these things that I just mentioned, then, people like to talk about unity. Unity, it's kind of an abstract concept, right? But I think we all do kind of want some sense of unity. But if we're working on those same goals and we're all moving in the same direction, that's the most unified we could be. You know, just keep our eyes on the prize, and then we'll be an organization that is getting its job done. And when we do have conflicts, just kind of squashing those as early as we can. You know, like if I see two people arguing, when I used to manage hotels, I would bring them into a room and I would say, hey, like, let's work this out so that as an organization, we can continue to be successful. And I will treat the Colorado GOP the same way. As issues arise, putting out those fires so that we can continue on with our eyes on the prize and win Republican seats.
Okay. Well, I that'd be a fun a videotape of putting all the people in El Paso County in the same run. And can't we work it all out, people? And if you can't, who's going to throw the first punch?
Well, although your idea, that makes sense, because you could be like, okay, whatever. Here's a list of names that I just gave you. What's your progress on that? I mean, I think you make a good point that if there are tasks, not that you're giving them, but they're like, here are things we can work on. We're not just kind of flailing around. Because I think sometimes, I don't think it's just Republicans. I think it's in politics in general. There are a lot of people who like to go around pontificating, but not actually doing anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're like, okay, hey, so what have you done? Here's your list. I mean, then you can say, well, you come back to me and you complain about so-and-so after all of this.
Exactly. I mean, we shouldn't even be having time for a lot of this. And sometimes it's the loudest actors, right? Like the loudest agitators on social media that you just want to be like, dude, I've never seen you knock on a door, never seen you make a call, never seen you write a check. So what are you really here for?
Right. Well, and here's the thing too, and this is something we always say. It's like we've always been we've been happy to unify. We, the grassroots, have never had a problem with unity. The establishment doesn't want to unify with us. They just want to obey this. Okay, here, this is from Charlene. Liz Cheney Democrats have infiltrated the party. How do we stop that?
Well, I mean, okay, so we have to put accurate information out to the voters in the primaries, right? So, well, let's take it back a step. I've already got a candidate recruitment tool out for 2025 and 2026. It's to identify good candidates early. And we've got several candidates that have already stepped forward for school board seats and for state house seats. So we want to work with those candidates before they become elected to provide the resources that they need to understand what does it mean to be a conservative? What does it mean to vote conservatively? So we really want to work with those people before they become elected to ensure that they're the strongest elected officials that we can possibly have. Put that information out during the primaries on the GOP website. Give them a 3-page questionnaire about Second Amendment, right to life, taxes, whatever, and put that information out so that the voters can see what they're working with, see everything there is to know about those candidates. Did they go through assembly? Did they signature on? All that information needs to be out there so that we're continuously educating the voters so that they pick the most conservative candidates. Then when those candidates become elected, we have to continue to work with them, right? So Liberty Scorecard, CUT, those are great organizations that need to continuously stay at the forefront with the Colorado GOP to hold elected officials accountable. But we also have to work with them and we have to say, look, you know, your voting record is a 59 this year. Why is that?
Yeah, what are you voting for? Yeah. What are you thinking?
You get a solid F. Let me ask you, last night I attended our reorg meeting for HD29. And HD29 has one of the most healthy, I would call it, organizations in the state. The majority of PCPs were there.
Kathy Stroud does a great job.
Kathy Stroud, yeah. You know, it was, I don't know how many people were there, 40, 50, 60, for an HD meeting.
Reorg meeting.
That's great. And I felt like saying to them, you know, let's face it, it doesn't matter who we run for HD 29, we'll get 40% of the vote.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we've gotten for great candidates and god-awful candidates.
Yeah.
So you got to put up somebody so they spend their mandatory. The Democrats spend for these kind of seats $150,000. And it's from the firefighters and everybody else. A sweet $150,000. Usually the Republican candidate can raise anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000 or something equivalent, unless he puts it in himself. So you have no chance of electing anybody in HD 29.
Yeah.
Spend all your time, of all these 50 plus people, spend all their time getting 10 people in HD 29 to vote who wouldn't otherwise vote. They're
To
Republicans
register new
or they
people.
no, even forget about
Get
registering.
him to vote, yeah.
Just get 10 people. The guys, they're all, like me. I don't vote, or get them in early, and
Yeah.
especially the guys. I mean, just get them in and get 10 people who would not otherwise, if you hadn't harassed them and driven them, 10 people
Yeah.
in 29 to vote in 2026 for Gabe Evans, or just vote, but they'll vote for Gabe Evans as the Republicans and stuff.
Right.
And we did it in all of the HDs that comprise the congressional one. That's the difference between winning and losing. Just that. Just you know, we have taco bars. We have all these things. We have all these people spend endless hours. And if they could just get 10 people, organize it. So okay, we are our goal is get 10 stinking lazy males to the polls. We've succeeded, and they will. Otherwise, they'll spend an enormous amount of time, money, and effort, and think they're doing something. I know Julie had a Mary Kay thing. What was the difference, distinction between doing something and doing something just make work as opposed to something productive?
Oh, so they both used to call it income producing activities, right?
Oh,
As opposed to not. Well, yeah. I mean, so what's your? Because Chuck, you're turning into Sean Hannity. But so, what's your?
Well,
What's
what do you think of that? Give
your?
us your feedback.
What do I think of just all of it in general? Yeah. I mean, okay. So I mean, I agree with you. I don't know how do we? We've got to get good Republicans elected. We've got to close the primary. We've got to work towards the opt-out. We've got to have all the information out there. I mean, we have to be doing all these things in order for good Republicans to get elected. There's not an easy answer there. Britta's been going around the state. She's notorious for this right now. Every time I hear her talk, she says there were 18 seats that we didn't have candidates for. First of all, there weren't 18. There were three, maybe we ended up with four. I can't even remember now. But that should show you where their focus is. Okay. Do we want candidates in every seat? Yes. But if those candidates aren't forthcoming and we're not finding them and we're not getting people that are willing to run, why would we go around stressing out over somebody running in House District 29 when we could be worrying about Rebecca Kelty in House District 16, who won by 3 votes.
Exactly.
Dan Boog, who won by what, 100 votes.
Exactly.
So that kind of shows you that her thought, that side of the party, their thought is more focused on making Dave and making the administration look bad by way of vacant seats rather than actually winning.
Right. Well, and which is incredibly stupid because Dave isn't even running. So it's like whatever.
Well,
I
the
know.
only purpose in getting somebody to run, and it could be your dog,
Yeah.
if they technically allowed him, it makes the Democrats who will allocate 150,000 to it, which is 150,000 they don't
Yep.
have, and they'll worry a little bit about it.
Right.
And that has its own, but other than that, other than putting your dog up, put the name in, get the dog on the ballot, so they have to, do their usual deal. Other than that should be it. Then
Exactly.
you're not going to win
Like
the
you should go
election.
find the
I
seats.
mean, we had great candidates. There have been city councilmen. They get 40%. We've had people who really are somewhere on the retarded scale. I mean, they're intellectually challenged is the best
No.
word to put for it. And they get 40%. It doesn't matter
It doesn't
who
matter.
runs.
No, that's well, it's interesting. Let me, because I know you're so busy, I want to let you go. Just let me give you opportunity again. Final kind of word, where can people find out more? Where can people see, because I know you guys are all of the candidates actually are doing a good job of putting messages out there. You may not agree with Britta's, but so where can people find out more
Thank
about you?
you. So, if you haven't heard me blabbing off and you haven't received enough of my messages and emails, you can go to Darcy for Chair, DarcyForChair, chair.com. Type me in on Google. I'll come right up. Twitter is Darcy4CO, Darcy. the number four CO. But, you know, I talk a lot about my vision and what I want to do, but really I work for you guys. I work for the SEC. I work for Republicans across Colorado. So call me, send me a text. I want to hear your vision. And if I haven't answered you, then I would like to get together with you, have a cup of coffee, just have a phone call, whatever, because your voice is what matters at the end of the day. So look me up and I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, thanks, Darcy, for coming on.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it. That's right. We'll see you later. Thank you, ma'am.
See you guys.
All right. Thank you, Darcy. Darcy Shaining there, running for COGOP chair. And again, you know, we had Jeremy Goodall on. Lori Sain will be on Monday.
Julie's in charge of getting Krista Bridehorn.
Bridehorn. No, I don't think Bridehorn will come on the show. So now you,
come on, Julie.
You know, well, it's the race. So just so people maybe who aren't like totally in the weeds, like we are, the vote will be next Saturday, and there'll be roughly 500 central committee members, bonus members who were elected last month for the most part at county reorganizational meetings voted. And as always, the party is split between there are basically grassroots candidates and there are your establishment candidates. And yes. And as you said, it's somewhat of a jungle primary, or a jungle, maybe not a jungle primary, but it's a jungle where somebody has to get the majority, and hardly ever does that happen on the first round. So it's you know, I think it's important if you are one of those bonus members to kind of understand where people are, because there is a massive difference between electing an establishment candidate and a grassroots candidate. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's McCarran from Mesa. McCarney from Mesa. Establishment. Bridehorn.
Richard Horrortorf.
Establishment. And then you've got I would go grassroots one, which includes Darcy, includes Lori Sain. Includes Goodling.
Goodall.
Goodall. And I'm not sure if there's anybody else, but.
I'm running. No, just kidding. No, I'm
running. Her last minute entry.
Who would credit to those guys for even running? So that's that. Obviously, we'll be keeping everybody up to speed and all that as time goes along. Wanted to talk about then the little bit the JFK files, if we may. I have to admit,
fun to read. You know, you should go. Honestly, they're fun to read. I didn't think they would be. And you don't have to read all 80,000 pages and stuff. But it's fun to look back. The ones that I kind of, the first batch came out. One of the things is that the assassin went to Helsinki.
Oswald?
Lee Harvey Oswald went to Helsinki to try to get a visa into the Soviet Union, then flew out. Well, how does someone fly all the way to Helsinki, who's just this kind of lonely, nerdy, nothing guy who's working in a book depository? He flew all the way to Helsinki. You know, who would do that? Well, someone on the CIA payroll. That's what who would do that, you know, to be a double spy.
Well, then they talked about there are KGB people or where people were warning, saying he's going to assess. I mean, it's interesting reading. But the biggest thing, a couple of things I took away, and that is the CIA was like all over the place. Not particularly effectively, I don't think, but they were all over the place. But the stuff.
Well, they spent all their time. Their main thing was to prevent people from forming conspiracy theories that the CIA was involved. and by excluding anything that said anything about the CIA, it guaranteed that everybody thinks the CIA was involved. So their efforts to scrub the records is hard to understand.
Well, and yeah, and in looking at it, I saw Cheryl Atkinson was tweeting this, or Xing it, whatever you call it now, and I absolutely agree. She's like, okay, so I've been reading, you know, like even the Get Repented had 5 bombshells, and I'm like, well, I mean, the number one bombshell said Oswald was a bad shot. I'm like, well, really? We waited 60 years for that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my question is, and you and I have been talking about this, is why was this such a big deal that we couldn't see it?
Why was Pompeo going to Trump? We can't release this.
Yeah.
We just, you know, you may have promised everybody, but just be quiet about it and we'll get through this. And what was it that he didn't want published?
Right. You know, and the only thing I can think is that if you were at the CIA, you wanted to protect the institution. I mean, it's clear the CIA had fingers all over the place.
But that's like, that's cat's out of the bag, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, oh, I mean, the CIA had some involvement with Oswald, and Oswald had some involvement with,
yeah.
I mean, What are you doing?
So I don't know, and it's kind of funny. I mean, everybody was breathlessly attacking Trump for not releasing it yet. He released it, and again, I think maybe part of the thing is I don't know that the people who are in the weeds on it, that many of them are that still alive anymore, right? I mean, to go through that, you really got to know your stuff. I mean, that's some of those hard documents to figure out: is this significant? Did we know this? Didn't we know this? Right? But it's not even like lead story anywhere. You know what I mean?
No,
Anymore.
and you know, the
It's
five things to take away or the 10 things, they're all nothing burgers.
right.
They're all nothing burgers. And you know, the lead one, he didn't do well in his shooting exam in the Soviet Union. Okay, he
Yeah.
got better. Or
So,
you
got
know,
lucky. Or there
he
was a
got
second
lucky.
shooter. Right. Now, this is from Jacob. James Johnston, author of Murder, Inc., the CIA under John F. Kennedy, explained to the U.S. Today, revealed that a crucial document exists but has not been turned over to the National Archives. This paper concerns the first one-on-one conversation between President Lyndon Johnson and CIA Director John McCone, which occurred after Johnson assumed power following JFK's assassination. Yeah, that's my understanding, too, that what these were are these are the this is what the National Archives had,
Yeah.
right? Yeah, this wasn't,
That's what the Warren Commission is.
well, and one can assume that they're, you know, if even back then, if you were in the CIA, you probably didn't write, "Dear Oswald,
We found
please kill Kennedy and Dallas on this, blah, blah, blah," right? I mean, so
maybe.
my guess is the Epstein files, it's going to be somewhat similar, right? It's not going to really be anything so shocking.
Well, was Epstein a Mossad slash CIA operative who blackmailed people? That's all we want to know. We don't care which guys like 17, 16-year-old girls. I mean, you can go over the world and
Well, it
find
depends on who
those.
they are. Yeah,
Well, who
but
cares? I don't care, you know,
well, then I
so.
would disagree. I think if there's somebody who's in a position of power and then there's ability to
Bernie
blackmail them,
Sanders.
you know, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, you know, I mean, some of these names that have cropped up, if they're, but either way, yeah, you're right. And even that question has largely been answered, as we've talked about before in previous testimony. It's pretty clear.
He's a Mossad agent.
Well, he was an FBI slash.
He was a Mossad and somebody else.
Right.
Probably FBI or CIA, but you know, Mossad would have no qualms, and the CIA and FBI would want to hang in the background.
I was thinking, you know, before when they said they're going to release, I'm like, oh, we have to work hard and I can put together a whole show on it. And I'm like,
Yeah, it's
no,
nothing burger.
no. Yeah, exactly. Nothing that we, you know, and the people who know, you know, aren't around. So you can't really ask them for exactly what happened.
Well, they don't
So
know what happened. I mean,
Oswald knows what happened.
no, he doesn't know, maybe. You
Well,
know, I'm a patsy, but how much did he know? How much were they had told him? Hey, you're a
right.
patsy. We're going to shoot you. Lee Harvey Oswald will, you know, and you'll get shot right after. Okay, good,
Right.
good.
And this is from Kathy. Exactly. The mobsters had their own language. They knew a guy that needed his house painted. Yeah, exactly. It's like that's what they were saying. But switching over to another thing that's kind of interesting going on is this Judge Boasberg and the ongoing battle between him and the Trump DOJ over these deported terrorists, the illegal aliens who have been declared terrorists for their criminal activities. And here's what I think is going on. So the judge wanted to have a hearing where he asked him all kind of very specific questions, like who was on the plane, when did the plane leave, who gave the orders. And I think that what the judge is trying to set up there, he doesn't care about any of that, right? He is trying to set up a contempt trap. Right. It's going to be, well, let me just finish. It's going to be just like General Flynn, right? Where he's kind of trying to set up a thing where, okay, the actual overriding issue no one cares about, but somebody's going to say, well, the plane left at 10:10, and it's going to be, oh no, the plane actually left at 10:12. And all of a sudden that person's going to be charged with perjury, right? I mean, that's what they do all the
The
time, right?
trouble is, and we've talked about this, Boasberg is a bad person for the deep state to have. Boasberg was head of the FISA court. Roberts appointed Boasberg head of the FISA court,
Which investigated Trump.
which approved
Oh,
the
right.
first FISA warrant based on Carter Page. So it was dirty from the beginning. And the people who put that FISA application together were from the Justice Department's National Security Division, Mary McCord. And so then Mary McCord drops out of the Justice Department. And they want to investigate the FISA one. And who does Boasberg hire to give advice to Amicus Mary McLaurin.
The jewelry store, and Chuck turns around and says, Julie, we need you to investigate who robbed the jewelry store. And Billy, like, on it.
And Robert's problem is that
Chief Justice Roberts.
Who's Mary McCord married to?
Is it his son or is it his daughter?
It's Sheldon Schluck.
Okay.
Who is the one who everyone believes leaked the Dawes decision.
The abortion decision.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, okay. Boasberg is caught up in all kinds of circles of
and
circles
with Roberts. Upon,
yeah, with right. Roberts and McCord and everything else. But he wouldn't normally want all that to be looked into too closely. But he's proceeding ahead, and it's going to be an interesting
Well, you know, Margo Cleveland had an interesting thread where she was talking about there have been more restraining orders, more permanent injunctions, all of these things filed in the 2 months since Trump has been president, then were filed in 4 years under Biden. And you said, yeah, I mean, ever before, right? And this is clearly a new form of lawfare. Democrats, it took them a little bit, but they have their act together in terms of this. Now they have these activist judges that no matter what Trump does, they say he can't. I think Trump has done a pretty good job up till now. For instance, this deportation of the illegal aliens. What Trump is saying is he's not, first, he's letting the DOJ argue in the court filings that you can't review it. This is under the, you know, the enemy, whatever, the enemy's terrorist act, right? The courts can't review that. That's subject only to the president's review. But he's also saying, well, hey, the plane was in international airspace, right? So it was outside of your jurisdiction. Trump, I think, has been so far going out of his way to avoid directly just saying flat out, no, screw you, right?
Right.
He hasn't done that. But I think the courts are pushing it. And I think the Supreme Court is failing abysmally at its job here because maybe they thought that the judges would knock it off. But every day that goes by, I think, without the Supreme Court intervening and saying, well, you can't do that, right? Every day that goes by, the judges become more and more emboldened. Pretty soon, we're going to have some magistrate in Denver, right, canceling ICE. Do you know what I mean? And
who canceled Trump
as a candidate?
A magistrate. I mean, it's and what's interesting, there's an interesting analysis. I mean, the Conservative Treehouse just has occasionally really great articles, but really the district courts do not report to and are not beholden to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is in the Constitution. Everybody else is appointed by Congress. Congress is the one who appointed them. Congress is the one who funds them. Congress, they're really reportable to Congress, not the Supreme Court.
And there have been moves to impeach some of them with some people like, oh, no, we don't want to do that. And I'm sort of like, you have to fight lawfare with lawfare, because here again, the Democrats, I think, understand, and these judges understand, that this stuff eventually will work its way up to the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, they're wreaking havoc.
They may not.
Well, exactly. And they're putting roadblocks up, right?
They've got the D.C. Circuit, which are all federal decisions are, you know, right, relating to the government. And they're all Democrats, virtually all, one or two. And then because the only Republicans are one that's approved by Mitch McConnell or something, who are lefty anyway. And then they got a Court of Appeals, which is all lefty. And so, you know, the likelihood you're going to get to the Supreme Court is pretty small. It's pretty small.
Well,
and Schumer was bragging on The View. He said, you know, we appointed 235 Democratic judges in Biden's 4 years, and we've been filing all these cases, and we've won 85%. Well, okay, he's right. You know, it's
well, and I think my point is I think they're not even so much concerned. I mean, Boasberg, you know, will he win or will he not win? In the meantime, he's put this roadblock up, right? And I think that's a big part of what they want to do. Just like with Trump, was Trump going to win or lose in some of these civil cases or the criminal cases? The point was he had to deal with it. And I think that's part of their strategy, is to put all these roadblocks up
to make it harder
for Trump to complete his agenda.
Well, do his agenda at all. Right. But you know, one of the things that is they can't put back in the bag is, you know, one of the departments, you know, had Fox on, and they said, okay, here's an office, we pay $5.4 million.
Right.
There's no one there. other than the cooks who cook for no one.
Right.
And so you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't believe that,
Right.
okay, for climate change, they're giving money,
Yeah, Stacey
8.5 to
Abrams
state
isn't
rep.
getting your $2 billion back.
I mean, they're not gonna, you're not gonna, oh yeah, let's go back to the way it was before.
And here's another thing too, and you sometimes you wonder if Trump is just being clever, because the more they do this, a couple things. One, people voted for Trump to do exactly what he's doing. That's what people want to do. That's one of the reasons the Democrat Party is so unpopular. And so what is this judge doing? He's not protecting whatever children and elderly people. He's trying to protect terrorists, people who rape children, who kill and murder and maim, right? These are criminals, and they're criminals not just in our country, they're criminals from their own country, right? In other countries. So he's trying to bring them back. That's the thing I think that the Democrats, they get so caught up, oh, we kind of won, but I think they're losing in their winning. And so maybe Trump is like, keep it up.
Well,
You're
Trump
fighting
should
to
go in
restore
there,
corruption and abuse. Okay.
get Boasberg, ship him in a prisoner exchange down to El Salvador, where he gets a haircut and he doesn't need much of one, and a haircut, and they all come back. But he, during pretrial detention, he has it in El Salvador.
Right,
It's
exactly.
nice prisons.
If these judges were appointed by Biden with an auto pen, can the judges be recalled? Exactly. And then Kathy says, tear down the roadblocks built by the communists, build a big, beautiful bill that stops judge shopping, lottery of judges assignments, judges panel, et cetera, make it all stop. Well, yeah, and Charlene losing and they're winning. The other thing I think that is smart though is, and Trump did this, and who knows, but he's signing an executive order that is going to make it the judges essentially financially accountable, right? If they issue an order, now who knows what will happen with that? But
Yeah, who's going to enforce that one?
it's just the other thing I think that's interesting. Sort of like the Democrats with COVID, right? After a while, when they kept insisting you had to wear masks, when they kept insisting you had to get the shot, right now, no one gets a shot. No one trusts any of that anymore. And I think the trust in the health industry and the pharmacy industry, probably correctly so, is like, oh, I don't know, 0%, unless you're like a Democrat, and then it might be like 3%. I think the other thing they're doing is they are destroying really any respect people had for the judiciary, right?
Yeah,
And
that's
which
true.
makes it kind of easier if you're Trump to say, I'm going to ignore that, right? No one's going to be, no one, not no one, the Hill will be, and Politico will be, and Schumer will be, but most people are not going to go, oh my God, he's ignoring Boasberg. It's like, so I think that's the other thing. The more ridiculous they get, and they're dying on these hills, like I said, they're dying in hills to protect child murderers and rapists, right? They're dying on hills to send Stacey Abrams $2 billion for whatever, right? They're dying on hills to restore hundreds of millions of dollars to perform, Sesame Street in Iran and do transgender surgeries on mice. And it's like, okay, if that's the hill you want to die on,
It's Iraq, honey.
It's Iraq. Okay, Iraq. Well, now they want to do it in Iran too. If it works so well in Iraq, it's like
So popular there, it's got a
it
big
was so
Arab army.
popular that pretty soon they'll
Perfect.
maybe, I don't know, from Mozambique or something.
Yeah, they're
But
nice.
again, I think so. Maybe in its own way, that kind of works because people look at it and people are just like, the Democrat Party keeps decreasing in popularity every time they do this, right? And then they go on and they gloat, they're like, we stopped Trump from finding fraud and abuse and stopping it.
Yeah, we saved all those
Right.
poor federal employees who weren't never at the office anyway, from having to give up their second or third check with the federal government because their real job was elsewhere.
So, and people were complaining, the Democrats were complaining, Musk had, they were purging anyone who was over 120 years old from the Social Security rolls. And the Democrats are freaking out about that. It's like, really? Again, that's the hill you want to fight on. So I don't know. I wonder if Trump is maybe being smart here. This is from Jacob. People are saying that the judges can be impeached but won't be removed because you need 67 senators to vote for removal. Remember, 10 Democrat senators voted for continuing a resolution to make it pass. That's a total of 65. You'd only need two more. Well, and also, though, I think why not just cause them a
Oh,
little
yeah,
bit?
you'd need a lot more than
But I
that.
mean, again, I think we need to sometimes adopt their tactics, and that is that just make it painful, right? I don't care if you think you're going to win or don't win, right? Go ahead and just file
Well,
the
it'd be
impeachment.
great, last time they took Dorcas and the Senate just said, okay, you impeached him. We're not, no trial, it's over. Or, the trial is dismissed. Now the Republicans control. It'd be great to get Boasberg on there, put him up on the stand. saying that.
Jim Jordan asked him some questions.
Well, he's not in the Senate, but to kind of go, now, what exactly is your relationship with Mary McCord? I mean,
right.
And Sheldon Snook. I mean, well, you know, I don't know.
Judges, I don't think, like being dragged in front of panels and being made to ask questions. No, you know,
we got to get Posey a little TV time.
That's right.
A little TV time.
Because you know he would be arrogant and come off horribly. He'd come off horribly.
Yeah.
Another thing they're doing that's weird. So this is, fortunately, thank goodness, our son goes to a charter school. But tomorrow, on Thursday, hundreds of schools in the Denver metro area are being closed because the teachers are all going to show up at the state capitol to protest cuts in state education funding. Now, okay, so that's to say you're a teacher and you want to get me on your side, right? So the first thing you do is you basically just take a free day. Do you know what I mean? Now,
and what if there's no difference?
Right. And
what if you notice nothing other than your child is...
Well, now you got to deal with childcare, right? If you're a parent,
just gets part of a gang or something taking care of
I mean, it's like that's the way to boost your support. Why not? Number one, all of the schools have sort of these teacher in school days, right? Go on one of those days.
Oh, no.
That inflicting pain on me, that's going to make me support them.
They don't,
you know, and also I'm going to.
Yeah, you know, they got they break the machine.
I just be curious how many teachers actually show up. I mean, if I were the school districts, and why don't school districts? Well, we know why. What a silly question I was about to ask. Why don't they say, that's going to be, you know, you'll be punished for that. Whatever the punishment is for just skipping school if you're a teacher, it's like that's what you're going to face, right?
Take part of your real salary off.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, so much money goes to education. It's like these are the same Democrat school unions, right? Who maybe if we didn't have to spend so much money on illegal immigrants and health care and cell phones for them and free housing and all of that, maybe there'd be more money to spend on education. I don't know. Call me crazy.
There's never enough.
Maybe if we weren't spending so much money on DEI programs in school districts, maybe there'd be more money for teachers. I don't know. If I'm a teacher, I would start there. Right.
No, it's much easier to take a day off, go down there, or at least have some people go down there.
Two people will get
midweek skiing in and call it a day.
That's right. I'm Kathy. This is idiotic. The teachers are idiots. They are special and untouchable. Attend a school board meeting and see them holding up their paddles like they did at Trump's speech. Yeah, it's like, yeah, once again, I think, you know, I mean, again, if I were Jefferson County where their teachers are actively grooming children, for sexual gratification.
They just sent them to their house.
Yeah, it's like,
why bother grooming?
I don't know. Maybe you guys should fix that. But maybe you should address some of the test results and things like that, and then turn around and ask parents for more money. Because bottom line is, where does that money come from? It comes from us, right? It's not like magically
not really
unicorned out there.
It's not your money. It's too bad. Maybe for the next show, we'll have Schumer thing on The View on how he views government. And you saying, well, this is my money. And he's going, it's not your money. It's my money unless I give it to you. You know, there's government, and then there's all you leeches. That's all there is.
Leeches.
Leech leeches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, and I don't know. So I think if you're a teacher, that's not a good way. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on, and we've talked about this on the show, a new law goes into effect at the end of the month that allows known illegal immigrants before they could get a Colorado driver's license, they had to wait at least 2 years or be able to demonstrate they'd been here for 2 years. I don't think anyone got overly concerned about the logistics of that, but still, at least that was the law.
Yeah.
Now they can get a driver's license right away.
Thank God.
Now,
thank God.
Not only now, that doesn't mean they have to have insurance or anything. They can just get the
insurance,
but the
you're their insurance.
But the important thing to know about that is that they're entered into the motor voter rolls.
Excellent.
So, we know Jenna Griswold's going to be on
as if Democrats really need help in places like Colorado.
Right, right. So you know that's what's going. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Mayor Johnson is getting hammered. They picked up an illegal immigrant who'd been deported, arrested. And the media, Mayor Johnson, are crying, calling her an activist. It's like, well, I'd be an activist, too, if I was arrested, deported, which is a criminal. Right. And that's falling apart, too. And again, these are the same people, keep in mind, who told us that the Tren de Aragua, who set
didn't
up.
Exist. They're imagination.
Yeah, they're imagination, right?
Puff the magic dragon. I mean, it just didn't exist.
again, and just keep going. Just keep saying stuff like that, right? Because the more you do, the more people, the more Democrats tank, the better the Republicans do. I mean, and you may be wrong. We may even win HD 29 next time around if things
All
keep
right.
going like
HD 29.
that. That's it from Jacob. Just one more thing. That's another problem for the developers is that the EPA has changed or deleted a lot of regulations. Therefore, those properties that are just starting to build will be cheaper than the ones that are finishing up. That's a good point. Yeah, that's going to kind of change things too.
Where to go?
Yeah. All right. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for
That's
us.
it.
That's going to wrap it up for us today. On Party Friday, I think we're going to have James Herson on. He's a national columnist who's going to be talking about this whole Boasberg thing as
That'll be
well.
great. I'm really getting into Boasberg and Boasberg's background and how he's the last one they wanted to be the judge that has become their test case.
Yeah, they should have had. Yeah, they should have vetted
Somebody
him.
new, it was
Hey,
clean, you know. No, they got a dirty one.
that'll do it for us. We will see everybody on Party Friday.
Take care, everyone.